Hey, greetings everyone, it's Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 Radio. Hey, thanks for joining me today, coming to you to talk about a topic I think you'll find of interest on this day that God has given me. Did Jesus sweat real blood? Did Jesus sweat real blood? I came across this area of scripture, and I thought, since it's also coming time for their pagan Easter holiday, it would be a good example, since I'm always driving home, studying in context, and the importance of not adding or taking away from Scripture, and looking at deeper Greek words to get to the truth. This is a great example of all of these things. It's also a great example how man-made religion, creates false legends, bad doctrine, lots of error that don't exist in Scripture. Hey, like three wise men came to see Jesus at his birth. Yeah, the Bible doesn't say three wise men. There was three gifts, but there wasn't three wise men. I grew up hearing three wise men. It was a lie. It wasn't true. And also the myth of Easter. Yeah, we'll get to that at the end of this teaching about the lies of Easter. So man likes to take God's word. He likes to add to it. Yeah, he twists it and subtracts as well. The Bible warns against that. And they might think they're making it super spiritual in doing that. Sometimes they have more insidious motives for doing it. Money taking, power, profit, whatever. But by doing it, we miss the truth. We sin by adding or taking away from God's word. It distracts from what God wants us to focus on. I've seen people, this is true, I've seen people argue about Jesus sweating real blood. They miss the entire real main point of his death, burial, and resurrection. They don't even have that right. They don't even have the biblical gospel. And they're arguing whether he sweat real blood. You see what I'm saying? They get caught up in pondering it. And another good example, you witness to an unbeliever in the street. And if you preach the gospel and you say, yeah, and Jesus sweated real drops of blood. Isn't that interesting? And they go, what? You go, yes, he did. And you start telling them about all the facts you believe that back it up. It distracts from what Jesus really did for them, going to the cross, being suffered, shedding his blood, resurrecting for the defeating of death. Yeah, it takes the focus off of that. So let's look at this verse. Let's get our focus right. Let's get our truth right. Amen. Luke 22:44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now, when you just read that, people, most everybody I've met in the evangelical world and others, they say, well, he sweat real blood. That's what it says. And Luke, they say, was a doctor. So he was just describing what happened to Jesus. And then recently, more recent times, they've come up with this idea that there is a medical situation called hematidrosis? Hematidrosis? It's extreme rare case where your body glands can, I guess, rupture in intense pressure and you can have blood enter your sweat. That's what they call it. It's supposedly a real disease. It's very, very rare. And it also creates a very minor amount of blood in your sweat. All right. So if we ponder that by itself, when they say, oh, Jesus had this rare medical condition where he sweated blood, it sounds so spiritual, doesn't it? Is that what God's word really teaches? I don't think so. It doesn't fit the narrative of Luke's account at all. So let's go there. Let's get at the truth. Three important factors we're going to cover. Did Jesus sweat real blood? Number one, it says, as it were. Remember that term. We'll get to that. Great droplets of blood and the condition, I should say, great droplets of blood was just describing the condition that Jesus was under. So what Luke was trying to do, Luke was trying to paint a picture for us, right? I have a question. Have you ever seen a really bad cut on someone? I've had a bad cut and I've seen some really serious injuries. When you get a bad cut, your blood flows like water pouring out of a hose if you cut the right vein or artery. All right? This medical condition, it doesn't match what Luke is saying about great droplets falling down of sweat like blood. It doesn't fit. All right. So even if you try to say, well, there's a medical condition, maybe Jesus had that in this great time of great stress, it doesn't fit. All right. There isn't that much blood loss in that medical condition. Number two, believing Jesus shed blood being his sweat could cause a theological problem for mockers and enemies of the gospel. Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. So that's a common doctrine in Christianity, that there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Well, if that's true, and you're telling people he sweated actual blood, technically, he doesn't have to die to shed his blood, does he? Ponder that. I guess they would say he just had stress and he shed his blood and he sweated it out, and why in the world would he have to die then? Because the Bible says forgiveness of sins by the shedding of blood. Jesus shed his blood in his sweat. No, that doesn't make any sense. See, anytime we see the shedding of blood in Scripture, it means death, because life is in the blood. That's what happened with all the animals that were sacrificed. That's why man's not supposed to eat blood, according to Genesis and Acts 15. We're not supposed to eat the blood, because the life is in the blood. And so Jesus shed his literal blood, as did all the other lambs of God before the Messiah came. Jesus sweating blood causes this confusion in theology that doesn't need to be there. So just for those two reasons alone, I reject that the Bible teaches that Jesus sweat literal blood. I reject it. But being Bereans, we're not done. We can see there's more evidence. All right, number three, here's the key to this truth, and we get it by testing, going deep, looking at the theology involved here, and looking at the Greek wording. Remember I said, remember, as it were? In Greek, Jose, H-O-S-E-I, it means like or as if. So let's plug that in to this scripture. So being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like or as if great drops of blood falling to the ground. Hey, when you look at the more expanded meaning of that Greek word, it doesn't mean he literally sweat blood. It says it was like he sweat blood. It makes far better sense when we discern it rightly, seeking the truth, rather than just believing what man keeps telling us or what is a tradition handed down. We see that all the time. We'll get to some of those false traditions coming up. When we factor in the truth, when we look at the Greek word, we go to the depth, we see the meaning is quite clear. Luke is saying his sweat was so immense, his stress was so immense about what he was going to go through and suffer, his death, burial, and resurrection, the torture of the crucifixion. Jesus was a man. He knew he was God, but he was also a man. He knew what he was about to go through for the sins of the world, that the heaviness of God, the wrath of God would be laid on him, along with all that physical stress and whipping it back and ripping his flesh, the lies that would be told about him. Yeah, all of that. So question, think about it. Luke was trying to paint a picture for us of this great distress. What else could Luke have used as an example flowing out of his body before, other than waste? Let's not go there. Other than human waste, what other thing could Luke use as an illustration but blood? Right? It makes perfect sense. And think about it. Think about it. We can't read into Scripture what's not there. Right? Very, very dangerous practice. That's why you get 30,000, 40,000 different denominations. Jesus was under great agony, knowing what was about to happen to him. As I said, he sweat so profusely. Luke described it in a graphic way, like blood. Isn't it amazing? Jesus was about to go and shed his very blood to his death. Probably all of his blood pour out of his body after they abused him and tortured him the way they did. How fitting that Luke would use the metaphor of blood, like his sweat pouring out like blood, because Jesus is about to go and shed his blood. He used a metaphor. I just did a teaching on that. You can look it up, the Spirit and Truth teaching blog from don'tperish.com. A metaphor is a figure of speech in which a word or a phrase is applied to an object or action to which it is not literally applicable. The Bible's full of metaphors, okay? when it talks about God's hand, the wings of God, the face of God. It's all giving us metaphors so we as humans can understand. We as finite humans can understand the infinite. It also tries to paint a picture. Remember, God's word is always trying to relay to us truth. God sees all truth and sees the big picture, trying to give us fallen human beings the picture he wants us to see. So we're to be seeing this picture of this Savior, fully man, fully God, in great travail, sweating for what's about to come upon him, as if blood was pouring out of him. What a graphic scene. And then the very next day, his literal blood does pour out for the sins of the world and those that will come after him. So let's get to my point. I talked about other lies and false ways. This is one. People teach it. I've heard evangelicals say, he sweat blood. That's not what the scripture says. And good study shows that it isn't. Let's talk about Easter. It's coming up. Easter, Resurrection Sunday, they call it. Have you studied this? Have you tested to see what they've taught you all these years? Roman Catholics and then evangelicals telling you Jesus died on Good Friday and he rose on Sunday morning. Two lies right there. Jesus said, I will be in the grave 3 days and three nights. That's 72 hours. Jesus said there's 12 hours in a day. We know there's 12 hours in a night. Jesus is no liar, otherwise he can't be prophet and Messiah. How do you get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday? A man just recently told me, well, they reckon days different. It was only part of a day. Even if you try to use the reckon days different argument, you only get Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 3 days. You only get two nights. It doesn't work. I have an article on this at the teaching blog, noperish.com. Jesus was crucified on Wednesday before the high Sabbath on Thursday. There was actually another Sabbath on Saturday. Jesus resurrected on Saturday. He was in the grave Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He was in the grave Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. He rose on Saturday because he is our Sabbath rest. Glory to him. Just wanted to throw that out there with Easter coming up. Go test another one of these false things they teach you. Good Friday and Easter, they are lies. So is people saying, oh, Jesus definitely shed blood and he had a medical condition. No. No, Luke was describing for us, he used a Greek word that tells us it was about a description as if, and he was pointing to what the Savior was about to do. I hope this encourages you to continue to test all things, go deep in the faith, test everything I tell you. I'm not the gospel. I have nothing but the word of God, his eternal truth, and I stand on it and won't be moved until you bring me the proof that I'm wrong on it. So feel free to email me about that anytime. Going deep in the truth, the word of God, taught by the Spirit, and then other true brothers, if you have them, true men of God, help you round yourself out. It'll help you shed all lies. It'll help you break all the myths and the false doctrines and the error that abounds in churchianity, kingdom Christians, Anabaptists, evangelicalism, whatever. These are not of God. Ephesians 5:9 says one of the fruits of the Spirit is truth, goodness, and righteousness. Are you walking in that today? Are you walking in spirit and in truth? Don't believe the lies. Don't just believe what people tell you. There are no three wise men. Jesus did not sweat real blood. Jesus did not die on Friday and resurrect on Sunday morning. Jesus is not a liar. He was in the grave 3 days and three nights. They lie about the gospel. They lie about how you should live. They lie about being part of the world. They lie about so many things. But if you just rely on the word of God, you will not be deceived. Jesus commanded us, do not be deceived. How are you doing at that? Hey, let me know how I can help you. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it edified you. That's what I live to do. Glorify my God. Edify saints seeking after him. Shining the light into this dark world, both the world and dark false Christianity, for the glory of my Savior. We love you all. Check out don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog. Go to our teaching library. Sisters blogs, audios, articles, videos, all for free. We don't take your money. We want you to be set free. We give it free. That the truth may freely flow from us because we love you and we love Christ. And we know He is the only way. Hey, till next time, go out and have a glorious day. May God be praised.